Good morning, and we welcome you in to a Thursday edition of My Car Guru. And April 15th was tax day, but I think now it's been moved up to May the 17th this year. Something like that, when your taxes, income taxes.
Not for me.
Not for you?
Yeah, I have to get some money in today.
Okay.
Got to support the federal government infrastructure plan.
Yeah, we're hearing a lot about that.
Yeah, I'm just jumping in early.
Okay.
I've got a couple potholes, you know, out near my house, and I'm tired of running over them. So I'm hoping that the infrastructure plan will include some extra asphalt come in and fix the potholes shallow road.
Can you not dodge them? Or
I have been.
Yeah.
Tired of it.
Okay.
Tired of dodging the potholes. So, Biden, if you're listening, I'd like some of that to be earmarked for Old Shiloh Road, Greenville, Tennessee.
I wonder if he is listening.
Probably not.
No. Okay. Probably not.
His hearing's not good enough.
You think?
I have no idea. Anyway, hey, if I were to ask you what is the world's most valuable brand, this would be a company. Okay. Well, what is the world's most valuable brand name? What company name would pop into your head?
Two pop into my head. One is Apple. The other is Amazon.
Okay. Apple is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon is number four.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number two is Google.
Ah, okay.
Number three is Microsoft.
Okay.
That kind of surprises me. I think, don't you feel like Microsoft is kind of faded a little bit? I know they're still a big, powerful company and so forth, but I wouldn't put them at three. Do you consider Facebook to be a brand? I guess it is.
It is
a marketing. I spend a lot of money with Facebook as far as Facebook marketing.
It is, but it has its pitfalls.
It's number five. Coca-Cola is number six. That might be changing.
Yeah, they're taking a little bit of a hit here lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd have to switch to Pepsi. Disney is number seven. Samsung is number eight. Now, this is surprising. Louis Vuitton, number nine.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
You didn't bring your man purse, your Louis Vuitton man purse with you.
No. I decided to leave it at home. I thought you might be envious.
Now, how could that be higher than McDonald's?
Because McDonald's,
McDonald's is number 10.
I wonder what the secret of Louis Vuitton is lately to get up to
number
9.
No idea. I was trying to find Ford. Ford's not even in the top 50. Toyota's up there, though. Mercedes-Benz is up there. Walmart's number 19. Marlboro. Now, that's surprising. A tobacco company is number 25. That just shows you that smoking is still prevalent. You know, brands are important. You know, Gateway is a brand. We are not owned by the Ford Motor Company or Nissan, for that matter. We are owned by me. And we have a brand. It's called Gateway Ford. And that is different from such and such Ford, Billy Bob's Ford, because we are independent businesses, run our dealerships differently. And a lot of them are still independently owned. Single point, what we call a single point dealer. More and more of them are being sucked up by these big corporations and made a part of a larger dealer group, which brings advantages in some ways and disadvantages in others. I don't have to ask anybody if I can spend this money to take care of a customer. I just do it, if that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of dealers or general managers of dealerships that are multi-point stores have to ask for permission, to do just about anything other than just the basic operations of their dealership. So there are advantages and disadvantages. But now there's a big trend going on right now, and I kind of like it, and it's the idea of a sub-brand, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you an example. Mustang. I mean, everybody has, when you say Ford Mustang, what do people picture?
Mm-hmm.
They picture a two-door sports car, right, that's been made since 1964 and a half is when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the last year it was the number one selling sports car in the world. Okay, outsold every other sports car that's in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty big place. Mustang is now becoming is a sub-brand of Ford Motor Company,
right?
It has its own you know, its own attributes. Mm-hmm. Now there's a new Mustang called the Mach-E, mm-hmm. which is an all-electric Mustang. Now a lot of people pitched a fit. They said, now what are they doing? They're diluting the Mustang brand, right? Isn't that the thought?
Yeah, I mean, they have a certain association with Mustang as being a pony car, a sports car, and the Mach-E is...
Four-door, SUV, all-wheel front, or rear-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, plug-in electric. Mm-hmm. Looks kind of like a Mustang on the front and the rear. From the side, it absolutely does not. Mm-hmm. Interior, nothing like a Mustang. Mm-hmm. But the front end and the back end. And here's the other thing. Walk around the car, I dare you to find a Ford emblem anywhere. There's no Ford emblem.
All Mustang.
It's just the horse, the running horse.
Yeah.
And so Bronco is doing the same thing. You know, Bronco is going to become a sub-brand. Over 100 dealers have signed up already for a Bronco showroom, a totally different, disconnected design by Ford that Bronco and Bronco stablemates will be sold from, including accessories and things like that. The Ford Bronco, it makes sense that Ford would do this because Ford already has more than 125,000 Bronco orders on the books. Bronco Sport has nearly equaled the sales numbers for the entire Lincoln division. So you're going to see a lot more of this. You're going to see a Bronco truck eventually. It'll be probably 2023. We've got the new Maverick coming out, and we don't know that it's going to be called Maverick. That's just been what's said. Ford has not said anything officially. We've seen pictures of the truck, but it could just as likely be called, you know, the Bronco Sport truck because it's built on the Bronco Sport platform. So this is a trend, and it's not just Ford. Other companies are getting on the bandwagon, but Ford is jumping in with both feet, deciding to take advantage of this these popular brands. The F-Series truck, you know, I mean, number one selling truck for 43 years in a row. You're going to see some expansion of that as well. So it's kind of an interesting thing. I'll keep you informed of what's going on. That's what I always try to do, right, Timmy?
That's what you do here on My Car Guru.
Yeah, and we're going to transition here for just a minute. We're going to talk about things that should be taught in school and also... what kind of driving personality do you have? And we'll do that first right after the break.
Back here on My Car Guru for a Thursday morning, and we're first of all talking about things that should be taught in school.
Yeah. But we're going to talk about what kind of driver you are first.
We'll do that first.
I want to analyze your personality here
all
just
right.
a second.
Okay.
So would you consider yourself just a laid-back, happy-go-lucky driver, and whatever happens, if somebody pulls in front of you or cuts you off, oh, bless their hearts. You know, are you just happy and stay in? Do you drive in the slow lane all the time and roll down the window and look at nature and just enjoy life while you're driving down the road, oblivious to everything that's all the misbehaviors going on around you?
Definitely not.
So that doesn't describe you.
I would characterize myself, and I think my wife would agree, as I'm a defensive driver.
Defensive driver.
Yes.
Well, I don't know that this is one of the traits, one of the personalities that has been identified here. Mm-hmm. There are seven.
Okay.
And I'm going to go through them.
I'll probably fit into one of those
probably.
More than the other one.
The first trait is called the avoider. These drivers are just a little too cautious. While defensive driving is rightfully considered a safe practice, these drivers act a bit too unusual, as if other people on the road are menacing hazards to be shunned. Does that sound a little bit like you?
Well, I think I'm from the standpoint that it seems like drivers nowadays, everybody is wanting to get to somewhere before you. It seems like it's a competitive thing.
Okay, we'll get to those people too.
Okay.
But the avoider is the guy that's in front of you, and you're looking down the road, you're right behind him, and he's trying to get onto the four lane, and you see an opening that's wide enough for an aircraft carrier to launch into, and yet they still stay back. That's the avoider.
Okay. Well, I'm not that bad.
Okay. Trait number two. It's called the escapee. All right. Many drivers deal with the stress of driving by simply not thinking about it. In spite of being behind the wheels, their mind is on 10 other things. These drivers are completely indifferent to people or vehicles around them and are often too distracted to act on time. So this is the person that I was behind at Powell's yesterday
mm-hmm.
that didn't realize. Now, I'm reluctant to honk the horn because people really get offended. And I really, my horns don't just toot. I mean, I have to actually hit it hard and it goes, wah, you know, and it really acts like you're, it sounds like you're angry at mm-hmm. it. You know, I just want them to wake them up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, but they just sit there and the line moves like three cars ahead and they're still sitting there.
Yeah.
Okay. They're out of it, in other words.
Yeah.
The only time they come to their senses is when the unthinkable happens, which would be an accident or something like that. So these mm-hmm. are the escapees. They're just, you know, they're not really there.
Definitely not me.
That's not, hadn't hit you yet?
Nope.
Then we have trait number three, which they call the philosopher.
Okay.
These drivers typically don't get mad over others' driving mistakes. Instead of reacting negatively to such driving errors, they simply accept them and move on. They are the one of the few ones who stay emotionally in control behind the wheels. I would love to be that way.
Yeah, and that kind of goes in line with what you were saying earlier. If somebody does something, you just look at them and say, well, bless their heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be great?
It would be.
Wouldn't life just be easier if you didn't get enraged? Not enraged is the wrong word. Angered,
irritated.
Frustrated, irritated
yeah.
by somebody who, why aren't they looking? You know, didn't they see that?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that accidentally merges over into your lane and, you know, it's almost like they stole your dog or something, you know? trait number four is called the punisher.
Okay.
When these drivers see someone doing something wrong, they are more than glad to get out of their car and confront the driver personally.
Have you ever done that?
Never.
I've never done that.
This personality type is usually not concerned with teaching proper driving habits, but is more interested in finding reasons to get mad and putting people in their places.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the person who doesn't know how to use the median. You ever run into those people that like do the short turn instead of
sure.
going the other way?
Happens all the time.
And you'll see people shake fists and honk horns and give it the hands up.
Give you the one-finger salute and all that.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And, you know, what did they do to earn that? They just made a mistake, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe they just forgot driver's ed.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the case. Trait number five, the know-it-all. These drivers are quite similar to that of a teacher, with an exception. Instead of imparting their knowledge of the road to others, they use their brilliance as a means of superiority. Essentially, they do not want you to be a better driver. They just want to show you how much smarter they are than you.
Mm, okay.
Now, I'm not exactly sure how that translates into driving. That sounds a lot like the know-it-all,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Teaching people to use the median correctly. You know, that's really not the time to do it. And, you know, by flipping somebody off, what are you accomplishing? Does that make you feel better?
I guess.
I've been flipped off before.
Yeah, it's just a reaction, knee-jerk reaction with a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think there are better reasons maybe to flip somebody off. Maybe there's no good reason to do that. I need to be careful. Trait number seven.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this is a little bit of me at times.
Okay.
It's the competitor.
Okay.
To these drivers, the road is a racing track to show off their dominance. Now, that doesn't really apply to me. They will continually antagonize other drivers until somebody acknowledges them. That's not me either. I shouldn't have said what I said before I said it. Nobody likes to be around these personality types. My competitive driving tends to come when, you know, sometimes when I'll get passed, you know, by somebody who just races past me.
Or somebody tailgates you. How about that?
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like to see people tailgate other people, you know, but
mm-hmm.
there's no lessons going to be taught out here on the road, right? Mm-hmm. Unless somebody has an accident, you know, somebody slams on their brakes and the tailgater slams into them, then maybe a lesson was taught. Maybe there's, you know, somebody comes to blows over something like that.
What about when somebody tailgates you and then they finally get an opportunity and they go around you? And then they get back over in front of you in the right lane.
And
they
slow down.
And they don't go as fast as what they were before. Would your tendency be to get on their tailgate?
Oh, no. I will not tailgate somebody. Okay. I realize the consequences of that.
Okay.
You know, if somebody does something really bonehead, I am likely to roll down my window and say, why did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Or I had somebody angry at me because of a mistake I made. I almost pulled out in front of a guy. And he really dramatically slowed down and slammed on his horn. Well, I happen to know the guy really well,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't know who it was. So I pulled around, pulled right up beside him, and rolled down my window. And he had this look of rage on his face, and I said, I am so sorry. I did not see you coming.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see him calm down.
Mm-hmm.
But just think about all the road rage incidences that happen. And I think we all need to keep in mind that nothing's going to be solved out there on the road. You're not teaching somebody a lesson, and you could pick on the wrong person who could be a nut job
mm-hmm.
and could end up making your life miserable. I don't know if you saw the Russell Crowe movie. I saw the previews for it where he was tailgating somebody, and they did something, and then he became like a serial killer and mm-hmm. was after the family, and he was going to make his point. You know, hopefully something like that dramatic doesn't happen to you, but why risk it happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just all be happy-go-lucky. Let's all be philosophers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just sit back. A combination of a philosopher and an escapee.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a much more pleasant way to be a car driver. Don't be a competitor. Don't drive too fast. Don't get insulted when somebody passes you. You know, if somebody's tailgating you and you don't like it, just pull over, let them go on. You know, I mean, that's rather than slamming on your brakes, there's no lessons to be taught. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I've noticed tractor-trailer drivers on the interstate, big rig drivers, and this has happened to me a lot of times. I don't know if it's happened to you. It probably has. In some instance, you go around them, and it's like they take it personal.
Yeah.
And then you look up in the rearview mirror, and here they come, this barreling toward you. And then they, at the last minute, when they get close to you, they'll veer over and pass you.
Yeah.
And I've even had some blow their horn at me, you know.
You know, life is so stressful, and there, we all have so much going on. Sometimes I think there's just this underlying anger that's just ready to erupt in a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you just have to push just a few buttons to get it to reveal itself. Also, the anonymity of anger. You know, Facebook and mm-hmm. and texting and message boards and Google reviews and stuff like that. People can really rip into you without any fear of any consequence because you don't know their phone number or mm-hmm. their address,
mm-hmm.
you know, which wouldn't do you much good anyway. So I think it's really important just for us to just pull back. And when these types of incidences happen to us, don't react. Don't respond, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do what your initial urge is.
Yeah.
Know? Which is to retaliate in some way, because it's, and I'm preaching to the choir a little bit. I mean, this is something that affects us all. It affects me, and I'm guilty in certain aspects, not any of the really wild things, but some of the stuff. My wife will look over at me and she'll say, we're driving down the road, and say, what are you doing? And she knows. I mean, she knows that this guy did something, and I wasn't happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she said, what are you doing? I said, okay.
It's funny. We've had that same conversation, except it's in reverse with us.
Oh, really?
My wife and I, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. There's times I've said to her, okay, what are you doing? Because she'll get a little competitive sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it human nature? It is for some people.
I don't know. She's always kind of been that way. And not a fault of her. It's just, like you say, the personality of driver.
Well, a car is a deadly weapon.
Yeah, 1 to 2 ton weapon. You've talked about it before.
I mean, you're hurtling through space at 65, 75 miles an hour, the life of your children that are in the back are in. You got, you know, one hand on the steering wheel mm-hmm. and the other one on your cell phone, and mm-hmm. you know, you've got babies in car seats and stuff like that. It's just amazing how people put all of those potential risks out of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, driving aggressively, you know, using your vehicle as a statement of opinion or whatever is just really childish. So
mm-hmm.
keep that in mind, Lenny. Okay, I will.
Talk to yourself.
That's right.
All right, we'll take our last break and we'll come back and wrap things up. Back here on My Car Guru, it's been a fun discussion, very interesting discussion about the personality of drivers.
A minute is not long enough to talk about the 7 habits of effective car buyers and car owners. So we will devote tomorrow's discussion to that.
That's a tease, by the way.
Huh?
That's a tease.
Well,
what we call a tease in the business. We're teasing tomorrow's show.
We're teasing. We're just giving a heads up and an apology that we were going to talk about. I just tried to take on too much today, and that's a common habit of mine.
Well,
that taking on too much and underestimating the amount of time that it's going to take to do something and effort. Just ask my daughter, Abby, or Audra, for that matter. They'll tell you that, occasionally Dad will have great aspirations without necessarily thinking about the amount of effort and time involved in accomplishing it.
That's all right.
So
kind of like trying to put 10 minutes worth of sports in a 5-minute sportscast.
Yep.
Which I've done before.
We all have to reel ourselves in occasionally.
We do, yeah.
And it's, you know, and that can apply in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Financially,
mm-hmm.
Right? Emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just let's work harder at that, Timmy. You want to?
We'll do it.
Okay, man.
We'll start tomorrow, and we'll be back with you for a Friday edition of My Co-Guru tomorrow.